if you knew it was coming and just days away, perhaps, from where you are in Nevada, what would you do, Doctor?
Well, one, I'd have to realize that I wouldn't be able to help or take care of anyone. I wouldn't be able to treat anyone. If they come in coughing blood up and things, they're probably going to die. I would be overwhelmed with the ill and dying. If I packed up and went home, people would come to my house and come out and demand that I try to do something for them, which I would not be able to do. And the only thing I would be able to do is to take my family and go somewhere and ride it out until the worst is over, then try to come back and pick up the pieces.
And that's what you'd do.
That's what I'd have to do, because there's nothing that I could do to help anyone with it. And it's better to try to, you know, survive with your family and ride it out until it's gone by. We were talking before about this, about, you know, telling people that, well, I have a generator and I've got lots of guns and I've got lots of lights and da-da-da-da and all that. When people start talking about how much stuff they have, when the avian flu hits, you painted a target on your back.
Sure.
Because people, when this hits and things go bad, people are going to have no food, they're going to be have no heat, no light, and they see a real bright place down the road, they're going to upgrade their living facility.
I guess it's worth asking you at this point, you would obviously take some medicine for your family, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I take, you know, probably some antibiotics, things like that.
What about antivirals?
Probably would, you know, stock up, take some, maybe some Tamiflu, Relenza along. Also, make sure that, you know, I've got everything prepared. I was just during the break just found something that is from CIDRAP, again, CIDRAP. And it's very interesting. It's from Montgomery County Health Department, and they have something called a because we're going to be overwhelmed and things. It's a home health kit, and what it is, it's called the Home Care Influenza Toolkit, and it you can pick this up on the net, and it tells you about how to prevent from being infected, how to prevent transmission between people, and guidelines how to take care of people, you know, at home. And that's what we're going to have to do. There is a mask that is approved to wear, which is called a NIOSH, N-I-O-S-H, N95 mask. But even, you know, wrapping something around your face two or three times will probably, a bandana type thing will probably cut down on getting inhaling the virus.
And so, in other words, it's spread by just the way it is. It's a sneeze, a cough, whatever.
Yeah, by sneezing and coughing, and because it's in the lungs, and the people sneeze and out it goes. We're not sure whether it could be spread by stool or by urine as of yet, but definitely it's a respiratory virus. So. Not inhaling the virus is the best plan.
Why is this bird flu so likely to become airborne, which is, of course, so awful and accounted for the 1918 pandemic, as opposed to through bodily fluids, for example?
Well, this virus, because it's got such a massive infection in the lungs, the human lungs, if you take them out and open them up and lay them out, they will fill a tennis court. And so that's an awful lot of surface area. So that virus is in there, and when you start to cough, it's going to be coming out of those lungs. And it's a very, very small virus, so it spreads well. People sneeze. Some people can get up to 150, 200 mile an hour, 200 mile an hour sneeze.
Wow.
And can actually blow a virus 10 or 15 feet.
Yes, but again, there is a difference between if you look at AIDS, for example. I believe it is well generally known it is only spread by bodily fluids, intravenous drug users, that sort of thing, but bodily fluids, right?
It is, because the virus has a very, very tight temperature range, okay? It can only stay very close to 98.6 degrees. So if I had AIDS and I licked a glass and handed it to someone else, before it got to them, the temperature would already been dropping. The virus would be dead. But when it was transmitted from inside of a human to the inside of another human being, the temperature drop never occurred.
So, okay. Okay. So what about a sneeze, for example? And this particular bird flu, or maybe we ought to talk about the 1918 variety. I'm sure they've done lots of testing on that. How long does it live?
That's the problem. Current research on this virus under optimal conditions, let's say if it is in a bird dropping and the temperature stays fairly warm, let's say in the mid-60s or 70s, 39 days.